Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Nobody else knows all the names of the stars. Nobody even knows how many stars there are. But he's got them all named. Great is the Lord, great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. Let me read that last verse. He giveth beasts to the beasts of his food, and to the young ravens which cry. And so let's pray and we'll go on tonight. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you now for the opportunity to look at your word and to look at what your word says, and to look at your care, your comfort, your observation over each one of us. And I pray you'd help us to hear from you and help us to see you. And I pray that you would save souls as a result of us meeting tonight. Help us to be strengthened. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to have that talk with Jesus. Help us to walk with you and to realize you are a friend that we can talk to. And help us to learn something tonight about prayer we need to learn. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. He giveth to the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry. You know, the Bible says, as you turn with me over Luke chapter number 12, the Bible says that you and I are more valuable than the birds. The ravens. We don't think of ravens as being anything special. In fact, ravens are usually a nuisance as far as we're concerned. Luke chapter 12, verse 24. Consider the ravens, Jesus said, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowl? Sometimes they're just thieves, but they're just on the lookout for whatever's available. One time I fed the ravens on accident. Didn't mean to. Caught a bunch of trout, cleaned them, put them out on the deck in a bowl, and came back later and there was trout all over, clean trout all over my deck. And it's because the ravens saw it and came down and started yanking on trout. But notice what Jesus says here. Consider the ravens. They don't plant a garden. They don't reap. They don't have a barn. But God feeds them. How much more are ye better than the birds, than the fowls? You're better than the ravens. You know that? You're more valuable to him than the birds. You're made in God's image. The Bible tells us we're made in the image of God. We're sinful. We're sinful creatures. We sinned because of Adam and Eve. We all have a sin nature through them, and we're all sinners. We sin. And yet, we are more valuable and more loved by God than even the ravens. The ravens are, I think, the least of the birds, as far as I'm concerned. Yet, God takes care of them. They're considered the dirty bird, the unclean. They're forsaken by their mother as soon as they're able to fly. They're just on their own. They're not anything special. And yet, God, it says, hears the raven cry. So please understand, if God is paying attention and making sure that some dummy sets out fish once in a while or something like that, if he's taking care of the ravens, he's taking care of you and I. He's able to take care of us. And so we need to learn to do what the ravens are doing. You know what they do? They cry. They cry. We read that in Psalm 147. The ravens cry. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to cry out to God. We're supposed to pray. They cry obnoxiously. Until they get fed, they just keep crying, never stopping. They're persistent. Look with me in Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, let me stop here. I said this morning. I'm going to say it again tonight. When you pray, you're to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Now, you can memorize that if you want to, but that's not so much what he's saying here, as that he is your Father. Now, how is God your Father? Well, he's everybody's Father. Nope. He's everybody's God. He's everybody's maker. He's everybody's creator. But he's not everybody's Father until you get adopted. Until you get born again into his family, he's not your Father. A lot of people say "our Father," but they're not even one of his kids. But when you get saved and you are born into his family and you're born again, then you can literally pray as Father. It's different with Father. You know, my dad would take care of my needs as best he could when I was a kid. If I blew out my shoe or you know, snagged a great big rip in my pants or something, he'd see to it as soon as he could to get me a new pair of shoes or a new pair of pants or something like that. But he didn't buy shoes and pants and clothes for all the kids in my street. Why? He wasn't their Father, but he was my Father. Same thing with my God. My God is my Father. I'm one of his children, and so he'll take care of me. I can have that assurance. So when you pray, first of all, he's got to be your Father. If he's not your Father, that's the problem. But when you can pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in as in heaven, so on earth, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive also everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee.'" Imagine, you know, middle of the night, Mr. Spears knocking on my door. "Ron, go home. Leave me alone." You know what I mean? I'm picking on Mr. Spears. But anybody coming in the middle of the night, knocking on your door. Hey, I mean, no matter who it is, that's obnoxious. Just go away. Just come back in the morning. Leave me alone. I'm asleep. My kids are all in bed. Don't trouble us. Verse 8, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity," he keeps knocking. That's just like the raven. Wah, wah, wah. They never shut up until you feed them. Wah, wah. They just keep crying. That's what he's saying here. Because of his importunity, he will rise. He'll eventually just throw the covers back, get out of bed, stomp down the hallway, find something, open the door, and throw it at him. Or hand it to him. "He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? No. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? No. If he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? No. And you and I, as human beings, we're just evil compared to God. If we know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" We need God. We need his Spirit's indwelling, his filling. We need his power, we need his direction, we need his guidance, and we need to not ever stop crying. We need to constantly cry out to God in that obnoxious desire to be fed. And listen to this. Thirdly, God knows that your needs are more in his interest than the birds usually are. God knows that what you need is more in his best interest than even the birds. For instance, I love this verse, Psalm 37:25. Pastor Matt walks around town telling everybody he's a Christian, all right? I claim to be a born-again Christian. I say that God is my heavenly Father. I do. So what kind of an advertisement is it if God never takes care of my needs? I mean, I'm literally a walking billboard for the God I say I belong to, right? I don't know that I'm a great advertisement, but I am an advertisement. So how many businesses in town want a billboard with their name on it, and it's a lousy billboard? Nobody wants a bad advertisement. Neither does God. So Psalm 37 and verse 25 says this, "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of his people. The only begging that we should ever do is to him. We should go to him and ask him to meet our needs and take care of our needs and take care of the details. And we should have to do that. You've heard me say this before, and I mean it. I'm glad I'm not a millionaire, because if I was, I'd probably get independent of God. I don't want to be independent of God. However, I don't like it when things get tight, just like you don't like it when things get tight. But you know what? If things never got tight, you know what I'd never do? I'd never pray. Isn't that the truth? But speaking of that, you know what? Even if I had all the money in the world, there's some things that I still can't fix with money, isn't there? God has ways of getting our attention. God has ways of getting us on our knees and helping us to realize we need him. He wants to take care of us, and he has never forsaken the righteous. He has never allowed them to beg bread. Why? Because it would be a terrible advertisement for who he says he is if he did. God takes care. I'm not saying he makes his people all rich. He does not. But what he does do is he takes care of our daily bread. He takes care of our needs. He meets our needs. He takes care of our issues. And I'm standing here today telling you that God has met my needs and still does. You know, I love this comparison with the ravens. You know, it's kind of cool. We're not going to read the story, but over in 1 Kings chapter 17, there's a neat story. It's about God's man. Elijah was God's man, and God's man was told to go down by the brook, and he said, "I'm going to tell the ravens to feed you." And so what happened is, and we don't know for sure, but what happened is the ravens would come in the morning and they drop food off for Elijah. Then they come back in the evening and they drop off some more food for Elijah. The whole land was in starvation. I mean, there was a famine going on, but God's man was getting fed by birds, the ravens, all right? And so the ravens are helping to feed God's man. We don't know this for sure, but the imagination here is this. King Ahab, you know, he's got this palace. And probably I'm just picturing every morning the ravens are flying into King Ahab's open window, snatching a few bites of food off of the table, and flying off to hand them over to Elijah, Ahab's hated enemy, right? I can just see that, right? I mean, isn't that a cool story? That's in 1 Kings 17. And God took care of him, and he had the water by the brook, and he had food. I mean, before the days of drones, it was just, you know, zzz, and there was the food every day. It was God doing that. God knows that you have needs, and he knows that your interests, your needs are more in his interest than even the birds. He'll take care of us. His children are more important than his birds. But number four, here's what I got to show you, and here's what I got to remind us all. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God commanded the ravens to cry. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, "Ravens, you cry out today." So, well, duh, Pastor, they don't read, right? But you know, there's plenty of places in the Bible where it tells us to pray. You know why? Because the birds are smarter than us. The birds know who made them. The birds know who feeds them. You and I, we get independent. We get blockheaded. And pride is probably the biggest reason why we don't pray. Because we can fix it with our own credit card, or we can fix it with our own hands. First of all, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. You're not going to even be one of his kids without this right here. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You don't get saved without praying. It doesn't mean you got to get on your knees and close your eyes, but in order to be saved, you got to call to him. You got to mentally, verbally call out to him for salvation. You got to cry out to him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Again, the birds aren't told to do this because they do it on their own. The birds take care of what they're supposed to do more than you and I do. We don't pray like we should. We take care of our business other ways. Jesus said, Matthew 7, we sang it, I think, this morning, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, seek, knock. We need to learn to pray. I'm telling you right now that I am preaching this to myself as much as I'm preaching it to you, because I like to be an independent guy. I like to think of myself as being independent and taking care of my, but you know what? There comes a time when we have just got to learn we're not so independent. I hope I don't embarrass Bob. I always do it anyway. But Bob said a while back, he said, I said, how you doing? I'm doing all right. So what do? I do a lot more praying than I used to do. Stuck in a chair most of the time. Flesh doesn't like that. I've known Bob enough to know that he's a do-it-yourself guy. But you know what? God stuck him in a chair. It's good to cry. It's good to learn we're not as independent as we think we are. Reminds me of that story, I tell it often, of the shepherd who had a friend visiting him. And while he was visiting with his shepherd friend, the shepherd was feeding a lamb out of his hand with a broken leg. The lamb had a broken leg. And the friend said, how did this little guy break his leg? He said, did he get attacked by a wild animal? No. Well, what happened? I broke his leg. You broke his leg? On purpose. Why? Well, this little guy was kind of a independent little stubborn goofball, and he would run off and do his own thing, and then some of the others would follow him and do their own thing. And I decided my best way to get his attention and to teach him was to break his leg, then put it in a splint, so that while he's healing, he'll have to eat from my hand because he cannot feed on his own. And while he's learning to eat from me, he'll learn to trust me and be dependent on me. And by the time that leg heals, he'll listen. And he'll be dependent rather than independent. I read that illustration years ago, and every so often I just realize that's what God's doing. I don't mean that that's why God broke Bob's leg. Although it could fit. But listen. That's what God does. That's what God does, okay? I don't mean he literally has to break your leg, but that's what he does some way or another. He gets your attention. And while you're sitting there, not so independent, you do what he's been waiting for you to do all along. You do what he's been waiting for you to do, and that is to cry. Cry out to him in prayer. Now, the raven's cry is natural. It just comes natural. But when you and I start to cry out to him, it's because something supernatural has been done in our life. God has done something in us that's made us be different than we used to be. He's saved us. You've got a new life. If you're saved, you have a new life, and there's something inside, a new source that's crying. And from that new source, you're crying out to God. And your spirit, the Holy Spirit, is communing with God's Spirit. Your Spirit's communing with His Spirit concerning this hunger that you have. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you ever just hunger for more? I don't mean more stuff. I mean to just be more closer to the Lord than before. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's just a desire in your heart. There's a desire in your mind that you want to have more and understand more and be closer to the Lord and learn to pray like never before. You heard me say it over and over again, and I mean it. We have an Anchor Club program coming up starting Wednesday night. We need prayer. We also could use some volunteers, but we need prayer more than anything. We need people to pray, and there's people that are hobbled up that can't do as much. They need to at least be praying. The raven's cry is natural, but yours and mine, when we get saved, it's something that's within us. It's not natural. It's not just something that man does. Then I want to show you this point. I think this might be the most special. When the raven cries, He just cries on his own, all alone. But when you and I cry, we have someone who's mediating for us. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy Don't worry about the microphone acting up. It's just the metal in my head interfering with the microphone. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." There is no Mary mediating for people. This idea of Mother Mary being the mediator and going to Mary or going to some priest or pope for mediation, no. The only media between you and God that you can possibly have is Jesus Christ. The ravens don't have that. The ravens don't have that, but you and I, when we get saved, we have the ability to go. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Because without Jesus, there's no access to God. He's holy. But because of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly to his throne. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, that Jesus is our advocate, kind of like our lawyer. He goes to God the judge on our behalf. He's our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. See, we're better off than ravens because we've got this kind of access. You're saved if you're saved. I keep saying if because I don't want you to think this is for everybody. This is for people who are saved. But when you get saved, you have Jesus going to bat for you. You have Jesus pleading your cause. You have Jesus crying out to God for you. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, "For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but now into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." There are people who go to church. There are saved people who attend church. There are saved people that attend this church. Some of them may have been guilty of murder. No. Yeah. Some of them may have been guilty of some crimes and some horrible sins that they would be ashamed if anyone knew about. However, you know what? When they pray, Jesus Christ is their mediator. And he makes intercession for them. There's no breakdown. In human terms, there would be a breakdown. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't talk to the President of the United States. You've got this on your record. Isn't that true? I mean, even if you and I went and made an appointment, we probably wouldn't get one. But you can go straight to the Heavenly Father because of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter what you did, if you've been saved, you've got that kind of access. He's our mediator who makes intercession for us. Look back at chapter 7, Hebrews 7. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." He ever intercedes for you and I. That's what my Savior does. He's constantly interceding. Because I'll tell you why. I got this enemy. He's called Satan. And Satan says, "That's Matt first. You're not going to listen to his prayer. Did you remember what he did last week? You're not going to forget about what he did last week, are you? I mean, he's the biggest doofus you got down there." And Jesus says, "Hold on a second. I died for him. And he asked forgiveness for that. And it's under the blood. It's done. That's what I have. I have that. In Christ, I have that kind of access to God because of him. That doesn't mean I'm supposed to abuse it. But that's what I have." Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. We don't just have Jesus, we also have the Spirit doing the same thing. The Holy Spirit of God is there as well. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." And did you ever discover that? You really don't even know how to pray. You're not even sure what to say. Have you ever gotten to the point where you say, God, I feel like I don't know what to say because I know you know how to fix it better than I do, so I don't even want to say it. I just want to let you help me say it. The Spirit helps us when we don't even know what to say. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's who we have. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus and the Spirit of God are tandemly working together, helping us to pray. And then lastly, Hebrews chapter 2. Something else that you have that's better than the ravens. And that's obvious by now, but I saved it for last. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. Jesus didn't die for the birds. You know that? But he died for every one of us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus died for you and I. When the birds die, it's something he notices. But they don't have a soul that goes to heaven or hell. But when you and I die, there's a soul that goes somewhere for eternity. He didn't breathe into the animals the breath of life. He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And you and I have the opportunity of eternal life, something that I don't know. I don't know what the future looks like in the millennium and eternity in heaven. I'm sure there'll be creatures there, but I don't know all the details of that. But I do know this. He didn't come and die on a cross for the birds. He came and died on the cross for you and I. And if his eye is on the sparrow, do you see that comic on Facebook? Shows this bird laying on the psychiatrist's couch. This bird is laid out on the psychiatrist's couch, and he's saying to the psychiatrist, I just got this funny feeling all the time that somebody's eye is on me. His eye is on the sparrow. His eye is on the birds. He knows. And if he knows what the birds are up to, and he knows what happens when a bird falls, doesn't he know what's happening to you? You bet he does. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you need. And everybody in here has got different needs. All of us in here have a different problem. And a lot of us in here, I'd say our problem is only solvable by him. And he'll do it. He'll show us the way. He'll help us understand what we need to do. But are we crying like they cry? Or are we spinning our wheels running around trying to find professional help? Or trying to spend our way out of problems? Or are we just going to him and crying like he wants us to? He hears the ravens cry. How about you and I? Do we cry to him?